Check, 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 check. Okay, can you hear me? You can hear me better now? Okay, good. What's that? Oh, no. Oh, Craig. All right, well, when I was a kid or a teenager, I believe, a television show started to come on BBC called Keeping Up Appearances. Anybody remember this show? Anybody watch BBC shows? My uncle was a big fan. Anything that was on the BBC, he always watched. He loved British comedy, and my mom always said he had a dry sense of humor, which meant he didn't have much of a sense of humor. But that was just, you know, I think I share some of that dry wit a little bit. But Keeping Up Appearances was this show about this family, the Bucket family, not the Bucket family from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, but a different Bucket family. But in the true spirit of Keeping Up Appearances, the woman of the house insisted that Bucket was pronounced bouquet, because no respectable English woman would be saddled with the last name Bucket. So she would always answer the phone bouquet, and there was just all sorts of, like, she was very, very into the trappings, predominantly her, but the whole family was very into the trappings of wealth, but they were dirt poor, right? They just wanted to present themselves as higher class than they were so as to not be embarrassed, right? Keeping Up Appearances was the whole premise of the show, and of course, lots of hijinks. I didn't watch it very much. It was mostly my uncle's thing, but I remember him laughing and watching and just observing how funny these sort of things are. And Keeping Up Appearances I thought of because as I was reading these passages, these last couple sections about the tree and its fruit and the wise and foolish builders, that's really what it's about. This is what Jesus is getting at and what Jesus has been getting at, sort of the climax of Luke's telling of the Sermon on the Mount. So the last 4 weeks, this is the fourth week, we've been in Luke chapter 6, studying this short version of the Sermon on the Mount. And this is the climax of that teaching. And so I want to go back to remind us where we're at. So the whole series we've called abbreviated, because, again, Matthew's version of the Sermon on the Mount is chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, all. It's this very long, epic teaching. And in Luke, it's one chapter. It's actually half of a chapter. But still, it packs a lot of power. But in this abbreviated series, we've learned or been reminded that Jesus empowers the poor and the marginalized. I'm using marginalized to describe the hungry, the grieving, the persecuted, for whatever reason. These are categories of Jesus where he says, you are blessed, you are already blessed. And anybody who is rich, anybody who has their health, who has a full belly, who is not persecuted, they've received their reward. But I am empowering those who are poor and exist at the margins here and now. He calls on us to love our enemies. He calls us to be the answer for why bad thing or good things happen to bad people. Jesus, we ask, why do good things happen to bad people? Jesus says, well, you're supposed to be doing good things for bad people. That is actually your job. Love your enemies. And when I say bad people, I'm just saying the people that we consider bad people, the people that we have a hard time getting along with, right? If I'm good, then they're bad, right? That's generally how we think about it. I'm not saying that there actually are bad people, but This is how we look at it. He calls on us to love our enemies. He gives to us abundantly when we give. Give and it will be given to you. Forgive and you will be forgiven. He's reminded us that if we want to receive from God, it is important for us to live with a generous heart and live our lives in generosity. And he also calls us to see clearly that we might help others see. We should not be the blind following the blind. We should not be the blind leading the blind. We should not be judging others with a big plank sticking out of our eye. But we need to see clearly ourselves and open up our eyes that we might help others around us see clearly. These are the themes that we've gotten so far in this series. The things that Jesus has reminded us are central to what it is to be part of the kingdom of God. If you're poor and marginalized, you're empowered. You're to love your enemies. You're to be giving and generous, and you will receive, and you are to be clear-eyed. Now, the picture that I used for today's sermon, you may not be able to see it very clearly, but that is an apple. You've seen these before. The stem has a piece of string tied to it, and that piece of string is tied around the branch of a tree. Anybody ever seen a tree like this before? You ever plant a tree and the apples grow on strings? I was trying to find a picture where the fruit was actually stapled to the tree, but I could only find strings. Now, if you went out to your yard, just imagine, if you went out to your yard and you found that there were a bunch of apples hanging from a tree. You never knew what kind of a tree it was. It was just that tree in your backyard, right? You just found that there was a bunch of apples, but they weren't growing from the tree. They were hanging from the tree from strings. What would you think? Oh, this is an odd situation, right? I'm not sure if I can trust these apples. I've seen Snow White. That's right. That's right. Now, if I like apples, I may be tempted to just go ahead and eat the fruit, right? Because I love apples. I actually do really like, well, certain, I'm a little picky about apples, but I do love the apples that I love. Apples are great. But if somebody went to all that work to tie apples to a tree, that's like a one-shot deal, is it not? Are the apples on strings going to show up again the next year? Not unless somebody goes through and does the exact same thing that they did the previous year, or the previous week. I mean, this could be a weekly chore, a daily chore, right, where you just keep on tying fruit up. The point is, this isn't actually growth. It's pretend. It's make-believe. This doesn't even have to be an apple tree. It could be an elm tree. It could be an ash tree. You could just tie apples to any sort of tree, right? If you're tying them, you can do whatever you want, right? Jesus says people don't pick figs from thorn bushes, right? Or grapes from briars. Good people bring good things out of the good stored in their heart, and evil people bring evil things out of the evil stored in their heart. Jesus is saying, look at the fruit. The fruit will finally reveal the nature of the tree. Let's say you don't know a whole lot about trees, and the tree doesn't have any fruit on it. It might take you a while to figure out what kind of tree it is, because you have to wait for it to bloom. It may not be a fruit tree at all, right? It may just sprout leaves. You never know. I mean, unless you know a lot about trees. I'm just saying, if you just have a tree and you're like, oh, that's a tree, I wonder what kind of a tree it is. You sometimes might have to wait several months to figure out what kind of a tree it is, but the fruit eventually will reveal what kind of a tree it is, will it not? And if you see stuff hanging from strings or staples, then you know, well, you probably can't trust that fruit. At the end of this metaphor, Jesus says, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Sometimes wonder if every word that comes out of my mouth is something I truly believe. But there's a reason for saying everything that you say, right? And we know, sometimes all too well, that once you say something, it's out there, right? Especially if it's in the hearing of somebody. Sometimes you really wish you could just catch a word as it's coming out of your mouth, grab it, and swallow it again before it actually reaches the ears of the person who you wish you had just held your tongue in front of. But Jesus says to us that what we say comes from the overflow of our hearts. Yes, we say things that we say we don't mean, but in that moment often we meant it, did we not? We may regret saying it, but we say it because some part of us means it, right? This can cause pain. Our words can cause pain. Our actions can cause pain. Jesus reminds us that what we say, how we live our lives, how we use our words, these reveal what kind of a person we are. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Some of us are tempted to tie apples or strawberries or bananas or kiwis or whatever your favorite, most impressive fruit is to our outsides to make us look impressive, right? Some of us are very tempted to present to others a facade that we got it all together, that we're doing really well, that we're really happy, that our families are doing really well, that all is well at home, all is well at work, and we want to paint that picture to the outside world. And for some of us, it's quite an elaborate scheme of dressing up, because it's a lot of work to tie all those apples to those branches. It's a lot more work than just showing up the way you are and being real. But for some of us, showing up in this world requires a lot of makeup. And I mean that in the metaphorical sense. There's nothing wrong with wearing makeup. I'm just saying. We dress it up a little bit more than we would like to believe sometimes. The second metaphor that Jesus uses tells the same story. For those who come to me and hear my words and put them into practice, I'll show you what they're like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But those who heard my words and do not put them into practice are like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed and the destruction was complete. A house can look beautiful. You could have two identical houses, one on a strong foundation and one built on the sandy ground. They could look absolutely identical, and they might look identical for like a few months. Until you have a day like today. I was reading this passage this morning, looking out my window, and there were like this one of those 60-mile-an-hour gusts of wind came, and it was like accompanied by all this water, and it looked like Breton Road was like a river, just for like a second. And I thought, whoa, hello God, here you are. Facade is what we're talking about here, right? A house is a house. And for a short time, you can fool a home buyer. You can fool yourself. You can fool your neighbors that your house is just as structurally sound as the houses around it. But when the torrent comes, when the flood comes, it will reveal the foundation of that house. Right? Apply this to our lives. What does Jesus say? He says, to hear my words and put them into practice. Hear his words and put them into practice. If we just hear the words and never put them into practice, we may appear like we're doing pretty well. We might look like one of those fancy McMansions that will blow over with a strong gust of wind. This is a clear call from Jesus to hear his words and put them into practice. The Christian life isn't about keeping up appearances. In certain spaces, we can get a really bad reputation for just being fake. and just pretending to be Christian, right? And you hear about this. These people that say that they're Christians but are really terrible to other people, right? And you can get these sort of murmurs and whispers. We pray that that's not us. We pray, we hope that this is not us. But Jesus offers us a way to make sure that that's not us, so that our fruit is genuine and so that our house is built on a sure foundation. And he's already taught it to us, so I'm going to go through it again. What does it mean to be the real deal when it comes to following Jesus? What does it mean to be the real deal? You know, we only use that phrase, the real deal, when we're talking about the real deal, right? We use this in contrast to people who are just keeping up appearances, right? In sports, we're talking about this flashy prospect who can jump really high but really doesn't work hard. But then this other guy, oh no, he's the real deal. He puts in the work. He's got all the athletic tools, but he also works really hard, and he's a really good teammate, right? He's the real deal. That's what we say. Or we talk about somebody who's super, they have their name on buildings because they've donated so much to certain places, and they maybe are really like known for their philanthropy. But then there's somebody else who gives just as much but never has their name on a building, right? And really doesn't like the attention, and you say, oh, well, that person, they're the real deal. They're the real deal. We say the real deal in contrast to somebody who really is just all about the image and projecting a certain way and looking a certain way out in public. The real deal is about having the inside and the outside match. And to be clear, if you've given a very large sum of something and you get your name on something, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But if that's the only reason you give, it's not very good for your soul, I'll say that. Still good for the organization that got the building, but we're talking about our souls here. We're talking about the kingdom of God. Jesus' practices are hard to fake. The practices that Jesus sets out for us are really hard to fake. Tying up apples on tree branches are not going to work when it comes to, again, I'm just going to go over the same things we went over before, empowering the poor and the marginalized. It's really hard to fake that. It's really hard to just like pretend that I care about the poor. Yeah, I can do a photo op and whatever. I can just do the very bare minimum. But when it comes to actually empowering people, when it comes to divesting of my own power and privilege, I'm not going to give up an inch of what I have if there's not a real heart change in there. Sure. Could be that, could be a lot of other things. Absolutely. It's really hard to fake it because we don't want to. We don't want to actually empower people who are underneath us, particularly if we're doing well. We don't want to give somebody else a leg up because they might take what I have. But if we do it because this is what Jesus has called us to, and it's out of a real heart change, well, then it's going to be real. It's going to really reveal the change in our hearts. Actively loving our enemies. How many people are going to do that? I would much rather, if I'm trying to fake following Jesus, like follow every single one of his other commandments besides the one to love your enemies. Like, if I'm going to pretend to be a Christian, I'll pretend to do something else. But Jesus gives us the hard ones. Love your enemies. Seek their good. If they demand your coat, give them your shirt also. They ask you to walk a mile, walk two. I'm not going to actively love my enemies if it isn't out of a real heart change. Jesus has given us these markers because, man, the other people in this world who aren't following Jesus are not going to do this. This will set us apart. Anybody loves the people that love them back. But if we love the people who don't love us back, who hate us, who despise us, that will set us apart. That will show us that Jesus is real, that his power is truly transforming. This is a way of life that shows the world that we are the real deal, that Jesus is the real deal, that the God that we follow is the real deal, that it's not about show. Loving your enemies, you don't do that to impress people. You do that because Jesus has commanded you to do it. Because he said, this is how things work. This is how my grace works. Freely giving and forgiving. It's hard to fake forgiveness. To say that I've forgiven someone, to not actually do it, it's really hard to like maintain a facade if it's not genuine in my heart. It'll start to leak out if I'm really still upset with you, right? You ever tried to live life side by side with someone you're really upset with and not let them know you're upset with them? It's hard to do. You can do it for a while, but eventually it starts to like leak out in various places. Little tantrums, little stubbornness. But freely giving of ourselves in real meaningful and self-sacrificial ways, these are signs of the kingdom of God. These are signs of the fruit of the Spirit. And seeing myself and others clearly, if I'm just pretending to be a follower of Jesus, I'm not going to see myself real clearly. I'll probably stop if I realize that I'm pretending. I hope. But most of us are pretending without thinking about it. If I truly have a plank in my eye, I really can't see clearly. Is that true? I can't see clearly when I have a plank in my eye. But it's really hard to remove that plank without real transformation. God wants to transform us so that we can see clearly and so that we can help others see, so we can help remove the speck from their eye, not to condemn them, but so that they can see what's going on in their own life and in the world around them. If I can see myself and see others clearly, that's a lot of work. Seeing myself clearly is a lot of work. It doesn't come easy. Some people are in therapy their whole lives trying to see themselves clearly, right? It does not come easy or naturally to us to see ourselves. It's much easier to see other people than ourselves. It's hard to fake it. It's hard to fake self-awareness. It's hard to fake generosity. It's hard to fake truly loving our neighbors. It's hard to fake empowering people who are in some way on the margins or below us, who have a status that's different than ours. I think ultimately the teaching that Jesus is giving us in this abbreviated section of Luke 6 is really simple. He's calling us to be the real deal. To be followers of Jesus inside and out. To not put on a show or pretend, but to be really transformed, and transformed in difficult ways. Transformed in difficult ways. But he continues to promise that when we give, he will give abundantly to us. It's not all for naught. He already has given us much, but he will continue to give us more. We may not see it today, we may not see it tomorrow, but God gives. Like we said last week, he presses down, he gives us a container, and he presses down what's in there as much as he can, and then fills it up again, and then presses more, and then fills it up again until it's overflowing, and he puts it on our lap and says, here, this is what I give you. Whatever I can give you, and then some. That is what God desires for us. but he desires us to be shaped and formed, to be the real deal, to look like him. We know we have a fairly strong foundation under this building, so this is good. We spend a lot of time down there. And God has called us to have that strong foundation in our lives, to bear fruit, to be the real deal. Let's pray. God, we thank you for shaping us and transforming us. Some days it feels like we have a long way to go. But we are blessed, delighted to receive the gifts that you give to us. So help us to have our hands open to receive what you have for us. Help us to remove the facade or any temptation to just pretend, and let us be real with you. Let us be honest with you if we think your demands are unreasonable, and ultimately shape us that we might submit and conform to your spirit in ways that we never thought possible. Do your work in us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.